Even though players might not actually realise that they're invoking Newton's laws of motion in their heads every time they kick a ball, what is going on in their minds does have a very big impact on how they play. And that's where sports psychologists come in. With us is Bradley Bush. He's a psychologist with the company Inner Drive, and he's worked with lots of well-known clubs and players to try and improve their games over the years. So how do they find you in the first place, Bradley? And is this big business? Do you get a lot of requests to come and give advice?
Hi, Chris. Yeah, we do quite a lot of work in football. Generally, players come to us one of two ways. The first is either if they've been referred to us by a teammate. We've recently actually had quite a few players approach us after they've read our book, Release Your Inner Drive. And what we're actually seeing more and more recently is a number of players starting to work with us and be recommended by either people around them, so people like their coaches or their agents, and more actually their parents as well.
So who have you worked with who we might have heard of?
Due to confidentiality and psychologist ethics, we can't talk about some specific names, but we can talk about some of the clubs that they play for. So we work with players from Man United, from Tottenham, from West Ham. We've got a couple who are going to be playing at the World Cup.
Wow, so we're expecting great things then. No pressure on you, Bradley.
Fingers crossed.
Talking of pressure, arguably, and it always comes down to this, isn't it, World Cup, penalties. That must be something that strikers dread.
Some do. Some really relish it and look forward to taking centre stage and being the guy who takes the shot that wins the match for their country.
So what do you do to help them to make sure that they don't fluff?
There's actually quite a lot of research that actually probably isn't used as well as it should be around how teams can do better at penalties for this World Cup. So, for example, we know that going first in a penalty shootout at the World Cup increases your chances of winning by about 20%.
Really? Why?
Generally speaking, it's linked to stress. So, essentially, stress can really hinder performance. And going second, knowing that if you miss, your team is out, is more stressful than if you go first because you know that there's still another chance for your team to go through. Other stuff that we've seen, so looking at England, and we tend to have one of the worst penalty records out of all the international teams.
No, really?
Sure. I think we have about a 1 in 5 record of winning penalty shootouts, and what one study found was England players rush their penalty kick after the referee blows his whistle far quicker than all the other countries. So the reaction time between the referee blowing his whistle and them taking the penalty is about 0.2 seconds. And just to kind of give that some comparison, like Usain Bolt would be happy with that.
But what does Germany do? Because Germany always characteristically beat us at penalties. So do they pause for longer? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and not even that much longer. So Spain used to have a similar problem, but they've got better in the last few tournaments. The top teams tend to wait, top teams in terms of penalty success, tend to wait about 0.8 to 1 second, so not much longer, but just having a moment to have a deep breath, compose yourself. Essentially, it seems that the England players historically have wanted to rush it.
You're saying
and
we peaked too soon?
Yeah, well, I think they just kind of want to get out of the way, really.
Why does it make a difference if you delay?
Well, essentially, so penalty shootout is often not linked too much to ability, because everyone has the ability at that level. It's often linked to stress. So, for example, anything you can do to reduce stress will help. So having a deep breath and taking a moment to compose your thoughts. There's a big thing around focusing on what you want, not what you don't want. So for example, to give it kind of a step back from football, if I tell you to think of any fruit you want, but don't think of a banana.
First thing I'm unpeeling in my brain.
Right.
Yeah,
and because generally speaking, the way the brain works is we tend to not really register the word don't so much. And so if the players are thinking, don't miss, don't hit it over, don't be the guy who loses it for my team, it brings all those thoughts, the things they want to avoid, to the forefront. Whereas if they can take a deep breath and focus on what they want, as in pick their spot, not change their mind, I think it will generally improve performance.
Does it also help to make the goalie sweat a bit? Because all the time you're standing there not kicking the ball, they are experiencing mounting stress levels, which is going to put them off more.
The research today has focused more on what the impact has on the player taking the penalty. However, there is some really interesting stuff goalkeepers can do to increase their chances. They found that if a goalie was to stay in the middle of the goal and actually not dive, he'd actually be twice as likely to save the penalty. And the reason they don't do this is one of two reasons. One is towards game theory, which is kind of, if you do that all the time, people will know that, and so it won't become effective. But also, there's this concept called like an action bias, where like people want to do things. If I dive and I don't save it, at least people would see that I've tried. Whereas the worry is if I stay in the middle and I don't save it, I'll come in for the criticism. So therefore, it's the illusion of doing something often trumps the logical thing, which would be to sometimes stand still.
So just very briefly for us, Bradley, can you give us some bullet points of advice that you give top performers of how to be at the top of their game?
Sure. And a lot of the advice we give them comes from a range of, it's not just sports psychology, so it might come from educational psychology or neuroscience. So three top tips, I guess. One, we teach players to focus on what they can control on the pitch, not what they can't change. So a lot of players might be tempted to focus on the stuff that they can't change, such as mistakes in the past or referee decisions or what the crowd are saying, whereas helping them be process focused and focusing on their role, their responsibility, and playing what they see, not getting too ahead of themselves and catastrophizing, would be the first area. The second would be around helping people and athletes develop their self-talk. And when psychologists talk about self-talk, it's not really this cheesy, overly positive X factor, just because you say you're good, somehow it makes you good. It's more about, are you talking to yourself in a helpful or unhelpful way? Are you helping yourself, give yourself instructions on what to do better? So essentially, if we were to write down everything you say to yourself and read it back to you, would that script be helpful, or would it be something that hinders you?
And just very briefly, the third one,
and
quickly.
Third one is helping athletes off the pitch improve their training mindset and resilience. So using mistakes as learning curves, making sure they're focusing on development and not just short-term performance, so that they get better over time.
Sounds like wonderful advice we can apply right across the board, doesn't it? Thank you, Bradley. That's Bradley Bush. He is from Inner Drive.